Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, good Saturday morning. October, it's an amazing month in Texas. Some of the best weather of the year, football, and yes, pumpkin spice everything. We're pleased at Pirate Money Radio to share some great things that we see ahead. Sometimes we cover some challenging things ahead that we're facing, and we try to do everything from a spirit of optimism and trust in the Lord. Our scripture for today is going to need to be Psalm 91. I'll mention it here, and then we'll read it to close out the show. By the way, I think you're going to need it. I know I do, and I know we will. I'm joined this morning by our co-host, the amazing Mike Carter, and we will have a guest who has been a long-term friend and educator and someone I worked with when I was contracting at the Pentagon, John Guandolo. He'll join us in the second and third blocks, and you'll not want to miss what he has to say. But welcome, Mike.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Kevin. Great to be here this morning. You know, that Psalm 91 hit me hard when I saw that come up because my parents sent this out to all of our family members. They sent laminated cards and said, you know what, you need to be praying Psalm 91 right now. Put this by your door. So anxious to get into the topics we've got today. It's a heavy topic, but an important one. And I think, again, we address this like we always do, not from a spirit of fear, but of hope. And knowing that God's in control.
Yeah, that's right. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Now, Mike, you and I have been together the past couple of weeks. We've visited state capitals. We're sharing the message of pirate money. Mike, I want to let our audience know the progress we're seeing in Des Moines, Oklahoma City, and any of the other 28 states we're working. Just a quick...
Well, just we're continuing to see great momentum as legislators are setting up meetings with treasurers in their state, working to get more alliances as they get ready for these upcoming sessions out there. You and I were just up in Iowa. We got to see the real gold dome in the great capital of Iowa, beautiful capital.
Yeah, they said like a softball size full of gold, and they spread it out over the capital. But that's still a lot of money in that softball size full of gold.
But I remember I was there 20, 30 years ago. It always impacted me. They got a gold dome. And so we've got a road show coming up there, actually, four-city tour. Legislators are trying to get more and more grassroots support to get this piece going. Oklahoma, we had a fabulous study committee presentation there that was well-received, and we've obviously got more work to do but to go from legislative to passing, but certainly encouraged by that. Multiple other states in the works.
And we're getting great food. In Iowa, they took us, and we got some great Iowa beef, and we got, you know, corn-fed, of course, and then we got Cajun food, surprisingly, in Oklahoma, which was great. It was on the drive home, though. You and I were listening to a podcast that a friend had sent, and that was what we need to talk about. It was a frightening podcast, and we brought an expert in today, John Guandolo, who's going to talk. But this is episode 135 of the Sean Ryan Show. Sean was interviewing Scott Mann, and it was chilling. And I think we should share. I wrote down like 10 points from what we learned, and it came from a new report that's out. So let's talk about some of the facts.
Yeah, and maybe before we get into that, to drive home how real this is, because as we were driving up to Oklahoma, I remember as we were driving to Oklahoma City, I said, man, remember that Timothy McVeigh thing? Hard to believe it happened here in Oklahoma of all places out there. And then just a few weeks ago, I see this headline. It's Oklahoma, Afghan national arrested for alleged election day terrorist plot on behalf of ISIS. Planning to go shoot up an election thing. This is in Oklahoma. A backyard. This is not New York City. This is not Dallas, Texas, although I think we've got our own problems in Texas here. I see another one. Texas among 29 states with known terrorist cases right now. And then I saw France, again, this is just several weeks back, arrest Afghan nationals over suspected terror plot. This
all
is happening.
All three came out October 8th. Yes. All three of those came out same day. All right, well, let's start with some of the facts that we learned from Sean Ryan. I'm going to run through the 10 of these pretty quickly. This one is really disheartening. 9/11 was undertaken on a total budget of $500,000 or less. And we responded by spending trillions of dollars. Now, how many times can we repeat that experiment where they spend, you know, $100,000, $200,000 and we respond with $1 trillion of our spending? That's the first one. Number two, we left behind tens of billions of dollars of equipment in Afghanistan with our NATO bases, classified information in the worst pullout in history, and we left the Taliban in charge. Number three, the Chinese showed up as our planes were taking off, and they've negotiated as a state actor with non-state terrorists. And then we made the non-state terrorists into a nation state. Number four, our government has admitted accidentally giving the Taliban $239 million. That's a report from the Inspector General. U.S. State Department accidentally gave $239 million to the Taliban since the disaster. How do you accidentally give
them? So I was just going to say accidentally. I've not accidentally gotten anything near that from our government.
$239 million. In other words, that's enough money to almost pull off 500 9/11s.
Yeah.
So they have billions of dollars of equipment. They have all of this, and now we gave them $239 million.
So they spent $500,000 to take down 9/11, what was the mastermind of how they operate with no capital at all. Now they're fully capitalized. There's rumors that there's even more money on top of this, on top of the $239 million.
That's what we accidentally gave them. We're publicly giving them tens of millions of dollars a month to, you know, to keep the peace and all of that. There's a report there. It's like cigar. It's only cigar.mil that is for the Inspector General of the Afghanistan withdrawal. That's what it is, cigar.mil. And you can see the full report. Go and look for the audit report. It's a PDF document. It's frightening. So that's number four. Number five, which I guess I just covered, if they could pull off 9/11 with $500,000, what would they do with $239 million that we accidentally gave them? Do you think they're asking for it back? You know, they're going to have them wire it back? Number six, we know the intention is going to do bigger and more spectacular every time. 9/11 was one thing. They have to do it bigger and more spectacular. That's their pattern, and they will not be casual about the next attack. Massive planning for maximum impact. Number seven.
And just to hit that a little bit, these are soft targets. These aren't necessarily going after military targets or hardened targets. These are election ballot box, you know, hit people in masses.
Or shopping malls or whatever. Yeah. And we'll get to that. The borders are open, number seven, and known terrorists have walked in addition to the massive number of criminals. Now, we know according to Fox News, immigrant murder convictions, tens of thousands higher than ICE's bombshell figures. ICE alone admits that 13,400 non-citizens with murder convictions are alone in the United States. I mean, we're not tracking them. But Chairman Green and the House Committee on Homeland Security reports ISIS-connected smuggling. Over 370 individuals on the terrorist watch list have been apprehended attempting to illegally cross our southwest border. How many didn't get apprehended? How many got away?
Scary.
Number eight. Now, this one's shocking to me. Sirajuddin Haqqani from the Haqqani Network and the father of suicide bombing in Afghanistan is now the Minister of Interior in Afghanistan, which oversees the passport office. So he's able to produce legal travel documents. We have a bounty on his head, but he can travel anywhere he wants as an official government minister. And that's just frightening. Number nine, all major terror groups training in Afghanistan, that's no longer Sunni Shia divide. All major terror groups, 21 major organizations were listed that are training in Afghanistan. And number 10, American intelligence agencies are essentially blind. We've lost all our contacts. Now, we may be done with Afghanistan, we think, but Afghanistan is not done with us. Is there an October 7 style attack coming to America? All indications are that they have trained heavily in close quarters battle, local distributed attacks. The next thing is that plan for us, house to house, restaurant to restaurant, synagogue to church. Could they go to Houston, Akron, Youngstown, Dallas, Miami, all at the same time? Israel wasn't prepared for October 7th. Israel, how much more prepared are they than we? So why haven't they hit us yet? Maybe it's because they want to continue to take advantage of our open borders as long as we leave them open. It's hard for everyday Americans to conceptualize this, but we may be the targets just like Israel was on October 7th.
Looking forward to having John fill us in on all this stuff this next segment.
Let's not get into fear. We'll be right back with John Guandola. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking about some risks that we have. And we have a great friend here in studio with us, John Guandolo. Welcome you to Pirate Money Radio.
Thank you. Great to be back with you, Kevin.
It's good to see you. All right. John is a Naval Academy grad, Marine, FBI, counterterrorism expert, long-term friend, one of the people I first shared any concerns I had about economic warfare with. And we worked together when I had a contract with Pentagon, and he did as well. So it's great to have you here talking about a subject that you've been warning about for well over a decade.
Yeah, 20 years plus.
Wow. Wow. Well, you heard the Sean Ryan show that we alluded to in the first block.
I did.
And it's frightening because the American people don't know, you know, what happens if there's an October 7th style attack. And yet you've warned us that that was on the horizon now for 20 years, that they're not going to leave us alone, that they're bringing it to the homeland, that they've infiltrated our government, they've infiltrated local communities. You know, what did you think when you heard that?
So I think their assessment of the kinds of things that are possible are absolutely on the table. And the idea that that can't happen in America, I think, is ludicrous. You know, as you know, I have a very strong intelligence network in the U.S., specifically regarding the jihadi threats. And you literally have a battle going on inside the Muslim community with the leadership of Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States and the Muslim citizens. And a strong portion of the Muslim citizens in the United States want to be much more aggressive than the leadership of the Islamic movement here is currently. In other words, they want to start flying the Hamas flag and the black flag, the Shahada, which is, you know, called kind of colloquially the black flag of jihad over the mosques. I mean, these are the kinds of things that they're arguing about because they want to get to business. Now, I want you to think about that. That's the infighting going on. The leadership of the Islamic movement in the United States literally believes the game it's over, because the fact that you've got, for instance, a Hamas guy, Maher Bitar, is the director of intelligence for the National Security Council. Hmm. You've got people in key positions, you know, and you've known that we've talked about this before, all the way back to the Clinton administration to today, you have senior Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iranian officials in key positions inside our communities, inside the federal system. And that was going on before 9/11. And because we've, just like, you know, you were talking about the Taliban in Afghanistan before the break, just like our leaders, including the Marine Corps commander on the ground in Afghanistan, called the Taliban during the withdrawal process our partner in security. This is how criminally negligent our leaders are.
And I'm old enough to remember, as you do too, the Taliban was the enemy. They were the cause of...
They are the enemy.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is just nuts what we're facing here, and we're defining words, and we're splitting hairs, and at the same time, we're doing it like Nero fiddling as Rome is about to burn. And you add on to what's already here that you've documented and is well documented. with the 21 terror groups apparently training in Afghanistan, and then anybody can come in and leave as they want because the border's open.
That's right, and a couple of things, and I want to start with this thought. You know, Mr. Trump recently restated, I've heard him say it before, but he said publicly, you know, they're building an army here. And of course, we're talking about, you've talked about this, not just terrorist Chinese. A large number of Chinese males have come into this country. And that level of asymmetric warfare, which will be soon kinetic warfare here in the United States. But they're not building an army. The jihadis have an army here. And that we can go back to prior to 9/11, but let's just start at 9/11 coming to today. All of the jihadi attacks that have happened in the United States, with the exception of only a few, we can trace them to an identifiable Muslim Brotherhood network here in the United States. And the ones we can't trace specifically to that network that offers direct support to these jihadis, all these groups, Islamic Society of North America, Muslim American Society, all of them offering direct support. But the ones that I'm talking about that aren't, like the Deobandis or the Iranian Hezbollah, they're offering direct support because they have a network here. The network here is massive. And as usual, nobody at the federal, state, or local level is doing anything about those networks. And those networks exist. They're very strong. They've got weapons in the mosques. We know that. They are training, doing weapons training and tactical training in the mosques and elsewhere. And we are not only not going after those networks, you got FEMA and DHS offering millions of dollars.
Literally funding them.
Funding them to physically shore up their buildings, giving grants to physically strengthen their positions so they can wage war against us. It's not just crazy, it's treasonous. And you can't say, well, I'm in FEMA, but I don't know. You know, I don't know about the terrorism thing. Well, that's not my problem. You swore an oath. You have to know. You have a legal obligation to know this, since you're giving money only to Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas organizations.
Well, and the scary thing is, you trained a lot of local law enforcement. We just don't have the man. If they did an October 7th house-to-house kill and rape and, you know, all of that, we don't have the manpower to protect any single major city.
No, we do not.
Let alone a dozen of them at once.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Two things I want to share. And I love the fact that we're just we're having a discussion here because you and I didn't plan this out. We're just going where it goes. I love that because this point is really important. Number one, when I'm done with our 3-day law enforcement training program, and I do this for the other programs as well, I ask, and we always have federal agents in the class, and I ask local, state, federal, did you know this? Raise your hand if you knew this information before you came in here. Nobody will raise their hands. And raise your hand if you believe it's critical to protecting your community. Everyone raises their hands. And I ask, always ask, how many of you are or have been on tactical teams, SWAT teams, CERT teams, you know, emergency response teams, tactical? And people raise their hands. And I'm like, are you ready for just 8 guys with heavy machine guns and mortars in your community? You ready for that? Are you ready to go to battle with that? Now, some communities, the police have actually trained and they store now in their tactical vehicles more ammunition, additional food like MREs, water. So they're thinking that way, but they're still undergunned. And so that's the second point. And the last point on this is we had a guy in New York and, well, actually he's from Colorado, Najib Ulazazi, had come back from training in Pakistan, learning how to build a bomb and do some other things, build backpack bombs. And he got caught communicating with a known Al-Qaeda location overseas. And they basically called him and said, what are you waiting for? Mm. And when he got in his car, by the time he got in his car and started driving east towards New York, the FBI had a surveillance team on him. They surveilled him all the way across country. And because they didn't know enough about what was going on, by the time they raided his apartment, there were 12 backpacks lined up against the wall. They just hadn't been completed yet. And all the people that were apparently going to be carrying those, no idea, to the winds. So, and this is 16 years ago. Mm. So what are they doing now? And I will tell you, we've caught some things. What's today?
I'll tell you what the FBI is doing now. They're bursting down the houses of somebody that's praying in front of abortion clinic. And, you know, they're doing the door knocks and asking people, you know, we saw this tweet that you posted.
That's right.
But they're not doing what you're talking. I mean, you watched that decline in the FBI. You were there.
That's right. You know, you bring up a story. We did a number of trainings in Louisiana with law enforcement. I can remember one. We had a chief of police in this training who sat through 3 days, which is amazing for a chief to do. And midway through the second day, he interrupted class and he pointed to two guys who are on the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. And he said, hey, how come you guys, I mean, we had like 80 people from 20 different law enforcement organizations. He's like, why didn't you guys tell us all this that he's talking about? And they looked and said in front of the whole class, we've never heard this information about what the threats are. And that was, and this particular class, that's 10 years ago. So this is where we are. You have local, state, and federal officials that can't put their finger on the enemy, but they sure can identify patriots and Christian patriots, and they'll go after them and arrest them. That's absolutely right.
Yeah, no, we spent all this worry about somebody that prays because they blocked access to an abortion clinic or something, and yet we're not going to go after known terrorists that are here. And we sort of kind of watch them occasionally, but they're smart. They figured out how to go around the electronic channels that, oh, we'll catch them. We'll monitor their iPhone. But do terrorists learn, or are they just always stupid?
No, they're much more savvy than we give them credit for. And especially, you know, the guys I call, you've heard me say this before, suit-wearing jihadis, the ones up on Capitol Hill, the ones working on the national security staffs, the ones in the White House, the ones in the State Department, the ones the FBI leans on. If you look at the FBI's website, the three Muslim organizations that they use for, quote, outreach to the Muslim community, they're all three Hamas Muslim Brotherhood organizations. And therein lies the problem.
How much more prepared is Israel than we are here?
I would say significantly, especially for their size, significantly. I would say my experience in the last 22 years of doing this has been when I sit down, you know, as you well know, you were there after we had been doing it, but while I was still in the FBI and then when I was with the Department of Defense, going around and speaking to like the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee and the chairman of the Intelligence Committee and 3- and 4-star generals and admirals and former FBI and CIA directors about the Islamic threat, why they fight, their doctrine, their modus operandi, their networks, no clue, no understanding of that. And you said earlier, our intelligence community is ill-prepared. I would say, number one, we don't have a functioning intelligence community in the United States, and it's the ignorance level of those who do exist is pitiful.
Well, you and your friends are part of it. How can people reach you? We'll hold you over for the next segment, but what's the best way to learn about your work?
JohnGuandolo.com.
JohnGuandolo.com. All right, we're going to be back with John. We're going to talk not just the problem, we're going to talk what we ought to be doing about it at the personal level as well. In uncertain times, finding stability in the economy can feel challenging. Well, what if you could navigate economic volatility while honoring your biblical values? At Timothy Plan, they believe this balance is possible. Timothy Plan filters its volatility-weighted ETFs and family of mutual funds through a biblical pro-life and pro-family lens, so you can see competitive returns and moral responsibility, helping you to weather the economic storms. With Timothy Plan, align your investments with your values while adapting to our ever-changing culture. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has been recognized leader in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan, your bridge between faith, finances, and the future.
Visit timothyplan.com or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN or 1-800-846-7526. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're facing, you know, it's Saturday morning. We are sorry to hit you with all of this, but if you've been listening, you've been hearing, you know, some of the real threat that we have. John Guandola is an expert, FBI, Marine, Naval Academy grad, and actually been in this fight as long as anyone I know. I want to start with a Bible verse, Proverbs 27:12. It says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself or prepares." That's a better translation. "And the simple pass on and are punished." So we've got John here, Proverbs 27:12. We see evil coming. How bad is it?
Well, globally, I think it's important to say, let me give it in a minute to a minute and a half. You have a 100-year-old communist movement in the United States, over 100 years, and we can track them back from the late teens to the early 1920s to today. And we have an Islamic movement in the United States that began over 60 years ago. And really since the 90s and after 9/11, it really skyrocketed. These two movements, which have doctrine published, strategy, hundreds of lines of operation, and massive networks, thousands of organizations of each. So I'll just, as an example, on the communist side, you have Communist Party USA and Democratic Socialists and the Green Party and Rise and Resist and Code Pink and all of these
legal organizations that file tax returns and things like that, that we honor and say, oh yeah, it's
nonprofit.
Yeah. Nonprofit.
Most of them. Liberation Road. All these groups that are hostile and should be shut down and their leaders arrested because they're legally conspiring to overthrow the U.S. government and committing crimes. So this is a great RICO case if there were one competent prosecutor in America. And on the Islamic side, they have doctrine, they have Sharia, they have strategies that are published, that are public, they have hundreds of lines of operation, and they have thousands of organizations. You've got the U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations, Islamic Society in North America, Islamic Circle in North America, Muslim American Society, Muslim Student Associations on every major college campus in America, just about. You've got, American Muslims for Palestine. You've got the International Institute for Islamic Thought, their strategy center. And you've got mosques, 3,000 plus mosques across the United States, that are hostile. And so I challenge people regularly, name one national Islamic organization that's not hostile. So when I hear people say, well, the problem is Islamism, not Islam, that's just a lie. And President Clinton told us that lie, and President Bush told us that lie. And so I would say this, for all those doubters out there, we use, when we train, textbooks used to train 10 and 11-year-olds right here in Texas, all over the United States, from Washington State to Florida, from Maine to Arizona and Texas. 3 days ago, we just had two jihadis at a church try to attack a church, and they had large rifles, and thank God for armed security that engaged them in a gunfight that kept them away. But my point is, when you read the textbooks used to teach 10-year-old Muslim children in U.S. Islamic schools, what it says about Islam is exactly 180 degrees opposite of what Islamic leaders in the United States are telling U.S. leaders and state leaders and local leaders about Islam. So someone is being lied to. And when you read 100% of all published Islamic law, it says the purpose of Islam is to wage war against non-Muslims until Islamic law, Sharia, is imposed on every human and a caliphate exists. And it says it's obligatory to lie to non-Muslims if it advances Islam. And it is a capital crime for Muslims to teach other Muslims anything about Islam that's not true. So when you see what Muslims teach Muslim children about Islam, knowing it's a capital crime if they don't teach them the right stuff, and what they're teaching in the most popular textbooks in U.S. Islamic schools is exactly what Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, Pakistan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia teach, then you have to ask yourself, and this is my challenge, where is one textbook or one book of Islamic law ever published in any continent that says something other than what I just said? And the answer is, it doesn't exist. It's never existed.
Well, not for the Muslims, but they publish all sorts of lies in the Christian textbooks.
Oh, sure.
Where they've infiltrated and they'll say, no, you know, Muhammad was a great prophet and Muhammad was kind and generous and Islam is peace and all of that. That's published in the Christian textbooks, because my kids going to Christian school pulled one of those, brought it home. I said, this is all a lie.
That's of course.
It's of course. All a lie.
And you've got this, when you hear the truth, you hear my voice, I believe is what Jesus said.
My sheep hear my voice, another voice they will not follow. So we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. All right, so we know there's a problem. And for sake of time, I see national level, state and local, and personal level. What should we be doing? National level, my first throw out to you is we ought to stop funding the other side. You know, it was Jim Woolsey who said, why are we funding both sides of the war on terror? We've got to stop funding the other side. We're giving all of those organizations are getting tax dollars in
That's
some
right.
way. And then we've opened our borders. So shut the border and stop funding that side at the national level. But we need to do more. What else should we be doing?
So, over the years, I created the first training program in the government to teach about these things to federal agents, state officials, state law enforcement, local officials, local law enforcement, and citizens. And over the years, working at the national, then the state, and the local level, when I moved to Texas almost 8 years ago, shortly after that, I created the Into Action program. And if I thought, based on all of my experiences, because you're right, Steve Coughlin and I were the first two inside the government to actually begin training and teaching people about the actual threat. First, the Islamic movement in the United States and how it fit into the global Islamic movement, and then them working seamlessly with the communist movement. And I cannot overstate at the international level, down to the local level in anywhere USA, they are so well coordinated. Their command and control structure is like nothing I've ever experienced or studied. And so—
And that's from a Marine, right?
Yeah, yes. And doing all the work that I've done, the best, this is what I do on a day-to-day basis, is train communities how to identify these networks at the county level, flush them out, and reestablish a Republican form of government. That's what the Into Action program is. If you look at, and you've talked on your show, the level of corruption at the federal level in this country, all the key components of government are not just corrupted. They're primarily being controlled by the adversaries of liberty, be they communists, jihadis, or people that are not necessarily ideologically aligned, but they are not supportive of the Constitution and our republic and a free market economy.
The pigs of Animal Farm.
That's right. That is exactly right. And so when, I will tell you, when we go in and we train, 40 or 60 citizens from a county and show them, here's how you build your team, here's how you find the bad guys in your community that are part of these networks. And here are, you're really only limited by your experience, your talent, your creativity on how to flush them out. But you can lawfully flush the bad guys out of your community.
We're going to have to do this fast. This is coming faster than
yes.
any of us know. All right. So state and local, you've been training law enforcement and others. People can support your work where? JohnGuandolo.com?
JohnGuandolo.com. And, one of the great nonprofits that supports us is Americans for America. Yeah, Americans, the number 4, America.us. That's a 501c3 supporting our work and the work we're doing. And I just would say we need it. Nobody else is doing what we're doing. Nobody else has ever trained people. Like each of us, I think what you guys do here on the financial side is very important. And I agree with you, we need to cut off funding. But I would tell people, if you're spending more than 5% of your time as a citizen focused on what Congress and the federal level is doing, I think it's time wasted. You've got to, it's not enough to play whack-a-mole at the local level. Hey, we got rid of the school board official, or hey, that's great. But if you don't have a comprehensive plan to actually crush the bad guys, flush them out, reestablish a Republican form of government, that is the only way over the 22 years I've been doing this, because at the state level, there's not one governor in the last 20 years that's actually identified the enemy. We've been focused on issues and policies, maybe some legislation. You don't win wars by changing a policy. You win wars by identifying and vanquishing enemies.
And you have to admit who they are. You have to understand their doctrine and so forth. All right, so we've got this, the national and state and local. You've got a plan, johnguandolo.com. There's a 501c3 way to support it. Let's talk at the personal level. We did episode 106 of Economic War Room, which is our sister show, and we had Rich Higgins, who produced and shared the survival guide that I think you were a part of, that you were, it was the insurrection, how to protect yourself during an insurrection guide.
Yes.
That may be coming up. We may be facing that. What at a personal level can we do? And by the way, we will put that guide at piratemoneyradio.com/reports, and you can go and download that guide so you can see it. But what can people do at the personal level to protect themselves?
So first of all, I use that guide that you just mentioned, and I hope you guys have a link to it. I share that. That's the primary thing I share, because the folks that primarily put that together, Steve Coughlin published that, but the people, the guides that put it together were at the highest levels of our military. These guys have decades of experience, and I concur with what it says and the checklists and the things. So I think that's it. I believe at the personal level, number one, I think you got to be the most righteous human you can be as an individual. You should be seeking individual and personal holiness right now, because you have got to keep your head about you as things start to erode.
This is biblical times that we're facing, right?
I believe so. Maybe it's always been, and it's just the heat's getting hotter. Number two, you have to know the enemies so you know when things start to devolve, you know who the good guys and the bad guys are in the community. And you have to have a plan now. Trying to create a plan, I'll tell you this from my military experience, trying to plan how to fight the bad guys while they're coming over the hill, that's the wrong time. So you got to get with your neighbors. You got to figure out a plan. You got to start organizing your community. Obviously, I think you should bring the into action training to your community. You have to be prepared to protect yourself, your family, and your home. And it's got to be a solid plan. It's got to include all those
things.
Spell
your website before the break.
johnguandolo.com and Americans, the number 4, America.us to donate.
All right, we'll be back with more right after this break.
The spirit of patriotism has prevailed. The battles may have changed, but the values remain the same. Today, in 2024, we find ourselves at a pivotal moment where the call for unity, freedom, and a better future echoes louder than ever. For more than 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream. Because this year is not just any year. It's the most important year since our nation's founding. Choose a wireless carrier that shares your values. Choose Patriot Mobile.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, no, we just heard from John Guandolo, his long-term friend. He talked about the real threat that we're facing. You can learn more about him at johnguandolo.com. But if you did not hear those first couple of segments, you need to go back and listen to it. You can get us on AFR.net, piratemoneyradio.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't miss it. There are serious threats that we're facing, and unless we address them, we're going to have some serious challenges.
Yeah, let's give the audience that website again. It's piratemoneyradio.com/reports. So piratemoneyradio.com/reports.
Yeah, and that's if you want to get the insurrection report, or if you want to go back and hear the segments that we did, piratemoneyradio.com. And you ought to sign up for that. If you're interested in learning more, sign up. We'll send you a weekly email. Mike, that stuff that John was talking about and what we talked about in the first segment, that's really hard stuff, right?
Yeah, it's hard to believe that's reality. And I think that's the problem we have. That's the problem even our politicians have. He was talking about, you know, there's maybe some policy stuff that a governor will take on, but we all have a built-in normalcy bias where we're like, that doesn't happen. We're here in the United States of America. Our shores are protected. You know, I remember as a little kid seeing wars in all these different countries and asked my mom about it, and it was always something that happened somewhere else. Now we're at the point where that might not necessarily be the case anymore. It could be in our own backyard.
If you saw that on October 7th, and Israel is no stranger to war, no stranger to attacks, rocket attacks and everything else, but they're out there and they're just celebrating out there, bunch of young people out of at a music festival or whatever, and then paraglide coming in and across the border and everything, all of a sudden then there's one of the worst terror attacks in history. I mean, it hit Israel hard. And yet what we've just heard is it could be harder hitting here than even that, because they were better prepared for, and there's so many people already in this country through the open borders.
Yeah, and I heard John share. He goes, you know, are you guys ready for 8 guys with heavy machine guns and mortars? That was one of the questions he's put out to the team there. We're not ready. Our police aren't ready for that. We're not even thinking that way.
For 8 guys.
Yeah.
There could be 10,000. There could be 100,000 with open borders. You just don't know.
And I think it's important, too. I mean, John's background, because anytime you hear this kind of thing, especially if you're just tuning in on the radio now and you're thinking, what are these guys talking about? This is not conspiracy theory. I mean, you've got a broad background in national security and geopolitical threats and everything that's going out there. John, strong background dealing with this thing, both in intelligence agencies and everything else. They're real threats. This is not something that's, oh, that's just conspiracy. Those guys are trying to create fear. That's not what we do here.
Well, ICE, the official government report says that 13,400 non-citizens with murder convictions are listed on ICE's national docket. So we know that there are that many murders here. But even worse than that, we found 370 individuals on our known terror watch list apprehended attempting to illegally cross our southwest border. And that's a report from the House Committee on Homeland Security. Bottom line is, how many more did get in? How many are here? How many have been here for decades? And they're all pointing to 0 hour, which is the time that they decide to come out. And if a police department can't handle 8, what does it do with 100,000 people that are attacking all at once? We don't want to give you a spirit of fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. This is really challenging. And for Al-Qaeda, they want to bankrupt us, a death by 1,000 cuts. We have $36 trillion in debt. When I first met John Guandolo, which was 16 years ago, we had $10 trillion in debt. Now we have $36 trillion. We're adding $1 trillion in debt every 100 days, $3 billion a day in just interest. We have to have some protection at the personal level for that, too. I'm trying to bankrupt.
Well, we'll talk about personal piece, but, you know, that debt that we took on, that was on a $500,000 budget that they had for 9/11 to take us down. And we spent how much overall on that war?
Oh, my gosh. It's trillions.
Okay. So now imagine that same thing, but it's more. And it's in Oklahoma, and it's in Texas and Ohio, and everything they talked about. what would we spend?
Where are we going to borrow the $10 trillion or $20 trillion? Where does that come from? And that's the risk, the financial risk that comes. And that's why we talk about pirate money, because it's an alternative currency that a state can adopt. We're not selling gold and silver. We're not. We don't have to take gold and silver sponsors. We're just trying to get states to take us back to the Constitution with sound money principles. And Mike, you've been working on this a couple of years now, and we're making progress.
No, we are. We are. And we need to, because I just saw a Zero Hedge article yesterday, tailing three-year auction sees plunge in foreign demand as buyers flee. Already we're seeing global markets no longer wanting to buy our debt. If we get another type of attack, or we bring this on ourselves, everything that's going on, just with the continued debt that we have out there, our ability to keep printing this money means more and more inflation. That means we're going to be one of maybe several reserve currency statuses as we see what's happening with the BRIC nations. They're getting ready to announce some things coming up here. It's not going to be business as usual.
This is unrestricted warfare. John talked about it, the melding of the red-green axis, the Islamists with the Marxists. The Chinese have been planning this since 1999 at least, and they talk about a combination attack where the power grid fails, where there's terror attacks in the streets, where you can't get access because of massive hack, you can't access your banking accounts. You know, all of these happening all at once, designed to bring terror to the American people and cause the American nation to collapse. And the prediction from Igor Panarin that he published in the Wall Street Journal in 2008 was basically we'll collapse into five different states, you know, Balkanization of the United States. And that's what we're facing. So we need help to get this word out. And we're thankful for those who do help us, like Patriot Mobile. There are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile is a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. They use U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and they operate on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And we're talking some really scary things, a potential October 7th style attack, maybe even happening as soon as Election Day. Wouldn't that be awful, trying to scare people away from exercising their rights as an American to vote? Democratic rights, yeah. To vote for representatives.
You know, you talked about, you know, that Patriot Mobile talk there, liberty, security, and values, which is what we're all about. And this show is definitely very much focused on security, that economic security, and what we're trying to do with pirate money and transactional gold and silver, a key part of it. Protecting the grid, another important component that, you know, we're asleep at the wheel again. So you don't have the grid, well, then the electronic currency becomes a little more difficult. But these are things that we've got to be thinking about and working towards now. I mean, we're right at the end of potentially a lot of threats, but God's got a bigger plan, and he knows what's going on, and we're trying to be prepared here to make sure we're doing those things to make sure that we're not caught off guard.
And you can go back and listen to prior episodes. We did one on the electric grid. We've talked about that. We've done an episode here at Pirate Money Radio on being prepared, being not a prepper, but being prepared. But one of the most important things that we can do to be prepared is not to give over to a spirit of fear, because that paralyzes you. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I think that's in 2 Timothy. So this is not a time to put our head in the sand. There is a scripture, a chapter. We talked about it, alluded in the first segment, Psalm 91. And we've got the New King James Version. Do you want to read that, Mike?
Yeah, I'll give it a try, just like my English teacher used to do to me. You got such a good speaking voice. I'll see how I do in my reading nowadays. If my eyes are good enough for the voice, we will see. Who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and, and buckler. You shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look, and you see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you on all your ways. In their hands they shall bear up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I shall answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
That's great, Mike. The Psalm 91, people who go into war carry Psalm 91. They quote it over themselves. They pray it over themselves. This is a spiritual war that we're fighting. And if terrorists are here, you need that protection of Psalm 91. Hopefully, it will protect you physically as well as spiritually, but absolutely it'll protect you spiritually. You get in the dwelling place, the secret place with God, and you be with him. And he could give you a voice, a word behind you and say, hey, go to the right, go to the left. He could tell you to hide now or come out now. This is the kind of spiritual protection that we have a heritage of as believers. And it's something Psalm 91, what Mike just read to you, you know, that is our future and our hope. It's believing and trusting in God. All right, so we've covered a lot on this. We would like you to share this podcast. You can find it at afr.net or piratemoneyradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. This is important information. You need to share it in your community. Now, if you have questions or comments, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. And be sure to go there for our weekly updates and get access to the insurrection and violence report that we covered here. You can access this report at piratemoneyradio.com. This is Kevin Freeman at Pirate Money Radio.